Heavenly Father, we come today realizing that you really are the greatest source of security that anyone could ever have. We thank you that you are the refuge that millions have fled to all through the years and all through those war-torn years of yesteryear and even today. And all the pestilences and all the different kinds of natural disasters and all the different things and troubles that come into people's lives, you are the one sure place. You are the one safe place. And those who find refuge in you have found an unshakable refuge, a trustworthy refuge that will never fail, so that even in the midst of the greatest turmoil and chaos, they can be at a total calm. And so today, Lord, we just pray that as your people, you will remind us again just how great is your love, just how great is your care for us, just how great is your concern for us, and just how great is the peace and the security of those who fix their hope only upon you. And in times like these that we live in, that you, Lord, would make us more aware than ever before of the security we can have right here, right now, in the midst of this turmoil, by putting our trust in you. Thank you, Lord, that you are the place of safety. Now take your word, we pray, and use it and apply it to us today, and calm our troubled hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I don't have to tell you today that there's a lot of turmoil in the world today. There are a lot of natural disasters. There are a lot of calamities. There are all kinds of dangers everywhere, and people are looking for security. And I read a few months ago that one business in the midst of this economic downturn that is doing great is the business of building bomb-proof bunkers under the ground, big places where people can store food that are ventilated and where people can be safe and can survive for months in the event of a nuclear attack or whatever. And it's one of those little told stories you rarely hear about, but those people right now have all the business they can use right here in the United States of America. Now, most of us can't afford something like that, so I'm going to give you something better today. And I'm going to give you something that costs a whole lot less and that is a lot more surefire and true. But we all know the importance of security. Sure, we want security for our families and all of that, and we want security for ourselves when troubled times come. And of course, if there were to be a total economic collapse, which we have not experienced as of this time and which no one hopes will come, but if we were, there probably would be a lot of mass chaos and martial law, and a whole lot of things would be going on. And so those things, we may not actually expect them to materialize, but somewhere in the back of our mind, we're thinking, you know, if that were to really happen, then, you know, what about my family and what about us? And of course, the current realities are getting closer to home every day, with about 400,000 on the average new jobless claims each and every week right now, with no let up in sight. We're adding over 1 million people to the unemployed list, and the economy, contrary to what I hear, doesn't seem to me to be turning around whatsoever. And so more and more people are going to be facing financial insecurity and things of this nature, if nothing else. And so those are just the times that we live in. And of course, there has every time has had its time of turmoil. There was a lot of turmoil in Palestine in the days when our Lord was here on this earth, and way before that, and war, the ravages of war, and all those things are very familiar to man. And so people are always looking for a place of safety. And in Psalm 91, it is described for us that there is a place of total safety. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And today is really just a reminder message, but I would like to remind myself and each of you that there really is only one safe place in this world. We can build all the bomb-proof, so-called bomb-proof bunkers in the world, but then there's always another nation over here that's building a bomb called the Bunker Buster. And we can get the most elaborate security systems that there are, but those can be defeated. We can hire a bunch of bodyguards, but bodyguards can be taken out. And we could just go right on down the list. It doesn't matter how massive the armies are of a nation. And the Bible is very clear about one thing, and that is the security of a nation does not come from its armaments. It comes from the protection of the Lord God. And so today, let's just revisit a few points here about the importance of having this fortress. And the wonderful thing about having the Lord's protection upon us, it has two advantages over any other kind of protection that we could have. Number one, it is impregnable. There is no other type of security you can name of which you can say it is 100% impregnable. And number two, it goes with us everywhere we go. Because living under His shadow means living in His presence. And as we live that way and we move day by day and we go about our affairs, that presence of the Lord is with us wherever we go. The Bible teaches, for example, that true believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Do you believe you're a true believer, and do you believe you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit? And so if you do, then you're admitting that the presence of the Lord is going with you everywhere that you go. But we need to have the awareness. Our problem is that we lose the awareness. We lose the awareness of the presence of the Lord with us. And so we, just like the rest of the world, we get into some situation and we're immediately panicking. And then after we panic, then we're trying to figure out what we need to do to fix this problem. And of course, there are practical things that need to be done. And there are practical precautions that we all need to take and to make. I'm not saying don't do those things. What I'm saying is, though, that those things often fall short. And those things can let us down and disappoint us. Whereas the protection that we have from the Lord never lets us down. It isn't that I won't put a deadbolt on my door. But if somebody really, really wants to get in my house, even with the deadbolt, do you think they can get in? I think so. And so my ultimate trust cannot be in those things. My ultimate trust has to be in the Lord Himself. So even, and then at the national level, we can have the best army we can get and muster and train. And I think nations need to do that. But that cannot be the source of our ultimate trust. Because if that's where our ultimate trust is, then we're still pretty much in some real ways vulnerable. And so our true trust in the Lord, that is where our true security comes from. So let's, for those of you who like to follow the notes, we have just a few points here this morning. And now it's in the bulletin. Now would be the time to get that if you'd like to take those and fill in the blanks. The importance of a proper fortress. The world is in increasing turmoil. Times are stressful and disconcerting. The future is uncertain. And most of us will face periods of trials and testing in our lifetime. So those are just some of the reasons why all of us need a good place of security for any of the reasons that we just mentioned. Number two, our security level can never be greater than the adequacy and reliability of what we have placed our trust in. Let's read that one more time. Our security level can never be greater than the adequacy and reliability of what we have placed our trust in. And we know this very well. So that is why we need to have our trust only in the Lord, Because he is the only one who provides us 100% foolproof 24/7 protection. He is the only one. He is the one who is totally adequate, and he is the only one that is totally reliable. But even as you think about the common types of security, you still want the most adequate and reliable you can get, right? For example, if you were trying to defend yourself against three pit bulls, every single one of them fighter trained, would you go out and buy a chihuahua? Probably not. Because our security can never be greater than the adequacy and the reliability of what we have put our trust in. But what I'm saying to you today is that you can look at something and you can say, that is impregnable. That is undefeatable. That is 100% foolproof. And you shouldn't even say something like that, because the minute those words leave your lips, guess what is going to happen? Now, I wasn't around at that time, but I'm told that, has anybody ever heard of a ship called the Titanic? And I've been told that when that ship set sail, they said that it was unsinkable. And so it has remained an object lesson down through history that which we think, and man is that way. We build something, we design something, we say that is foolproof. I have got my retirement set. It is safe. It is a safe harbor from all the ups and downs of the market. You think so? And we can go right on down the list. Anything has its weak point. Anything can fail. How many have heard of Murphy's Law? I don't know if such a law exists or not in real practice, but Murphy's Law is that if anything bad can happen, it will. And my life experience does make me tend to believe there is such a law. So we can build something, we can design something, and we can say it is absolutely impregnable, and the very next day will be proven wrong. I read somewhere where one of these underground places with all the computers and their defense and everything, the whole thing went down. And they were trying to trace it, and a mouse had chewed through a wire. So I tell you, things are not as impregnable as a lot of times we think they are. And people spend years trying to build the perfect security, whether it's whatever it may be, only to see it outdated or outmoded or whatever overnight. So the only safe place is our trust in the Lord. Number three, the time to prepare for storms is before they happen. Let's say you live in the tornado zone. How many have heard of Jasmine, Missouri? You live in the tornado zone. The warning siren has already gone off, and you're in your backyard with a shovel. And somebody says, what are you doing? You say, I'm digging myself a tornado shelter. I would say maybe the time to have done that would have been a few months earlier. And so we'll be getting to that point again here in a minute. But the point we're making here is, if you're not already in the habit of trusting the Lord for everything, what makes you think you're going to be in that mode when the big one hits? The time to prepare is ahead of time. Some people like to reserve trusting God for emergencies. Have you ever met any of those people? Have you ever been one of those people? Don't raise your hand. But I see them all the time. So we function on our own power as long as we can. And we prefer that because that gives us a certain amount of control. And so as long as we're able to handle it, you know, we can just kind of, oh yeah, I believe in God. But hey, he doesn't have a whole lot to do with my daily life, you know. So I'm going to be over here. I'm going to be doing my thing. I'm going to be doing what makes me happy. And life is good. And then all of a sudden, some calamity strikes. And guess where you see them the next Sunday? You see them in church. And they say, I need prayer. I got this going on. I got that going on. And indeed, the Lord is merciful. So some people pray for them. They get past their little whatever it is, they're bumping the road. And then guess what happens after that? We're back to doing our own thing again. And even those of us who are in church all the time and who do all the stuff, we still function probably on our own little batteries or whatever more of the time than we would like to admit. And in our day-to-day stuff, we're not really as fully reliant on the Lord as really we probably ought to be. Or there are some things we're like, why should I need to trust in the Lord for that? That's just a simple little thing. Whatever. But the time to find that place of security is now, not when the storm comes. So that when the storm comes, we will be ready. If we want, I said this is a mistake, because trust, like a relationship, only develops and grows over time. If we want adequate trust for the crisis, we've got to begin trusting God for the little things now. Everything that is happening to me today is just a practice run for the real deal. And we never know when the real deal is going to come. So I need to start trusting God right now. Forget about the big calamity that's down the road. I need to start trusting God right now. I need to start finding my security in Him right now. I may think, well, this isn't that big a deal. That's fine. But approach it by having your trust in the Lord. And if this becomes a habit, then as other things come along, then we'll be able to work in that mode. No one develops full-fledged faith overnight. Nobody goes just overnight from being a fearful individual on the one hand or a control freak on the other hand, and then become a person of trust just like that. Even as believers, we've trusted Christ for our salvation. But how many know that trust in Him is a daily thing? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him. What's the next line? O'er and o'er, over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. And that's where the Lord wants to get us, but we've got to start now. And number four, unlike earthly sources of security, God does not have a breaking point, blind spots, or limitations of any kind. God's protection and care are an impregnable fortress. Every earthly source of security is just a ramshackle hut by comparison. And we can take what we think is the greatest source of security we can name. If it's man-made compared to the security that comes from putting our trust in the Lord, it's just a little old cardboard shanty by the side of the road. It can be knocked over just like that. But the Lord's protection will see us through anything. Finding a place of safety. How do we do this? The Lord is already there. The Lord's been there all along. He's the same God. Well, let me name you a few of them. There was, of course, Abel and Enoch and Noah. They put their faith in the Lord. They had found that place of safety. There was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There was Joseph, there was Moses, there was Joshua, there was Caleb, both men of faith. There was Samuel. There was David. David probably wrote more than anybody else about God being his stronghold, God being his fortress. He was constantly in battle, constantly in warfare. But where was his trust? Was it in his armaments or was it in the Lord? Even in his first encounter with Goliath, he says, Goliath, you're coming at me with all this equipment and shields and lances and all this stuff. I'm coming to you how? In the name of the Lord of hosts. So his trust was already fixed. Daniel and his friends, the three, we call them the three Hebrew children. Absolutely. People that did not. Cain, Esau, the Israelites in the desert, to the point that God says to them, not one of you is going to enter the land. You're going to die because you did not trust me. Because you said the giants are too big. Because you said they have walled cities. Because you said that your God wasn't big enough to take care of you. You are all 20 years and upward going to die in this desert. And your children that you were afraid would become a prey to the enemy, they are going to go in and they are going to take the land. And the Lord told Joshua, one of the first things he told Joshua was, I have given you every piece of land that your feet trample on. And I will be with you every day. I will be with you all the way. And you will only know victory because I am with you. And the only exception or two were when they were in disobedience and rebellion. But other than that, they never lost a battle until the job was done. So we follow in the footsteps of some good examples. But how do we find, how do we develop this continual awareness of the Lord's protection? Three things. Number one, develop a continual awareness of God's complete sovereignty and power. Do you believe that God is sovereign in every situation? Be careful before you answer. But unless you know God to be sovereign in every situation, you cannot fully trust Him. You will be unable to fully trust Him. You must know that God is completely sovereign in every situation. And not only sovereign, but He has all power. And those are two things about God that we have got to learn early if we are ever going to learn to fully trust Him. And if you're still doubting, and if you're still having, you know, trouble with fear in certain areas, it's because in that area at least, you either don't believe He's fully powerful or you don't believe He's fully sovereign. My God is sovereign. My God has the last word. Not Pharaoh, not Washington, D.C., not any power on this earth, not any demonic force, nothing that man can fashion. My God is sovereign. My God has the final word. He is the King. Hallelujah. He is in charge. Nothing reaches me without His permission. And you say, well, what about Job? Yeah. The Lord took down that external wall of protection temporarily. And even then, He told the devil how far he could go. And where he had to stop. And when Job came through on the other side, how did he emerge? Stronger than before. More blessed than before. And with a fuller understanding of and an appreciation for his God that he already knew and served and loved than he had had before. But develop a continual awareness. Our problem is we forget. One of my favorite episodes of the Jeffersons. How many are old enough to remember the Jeffersons? And Florence had quit. So Ms. Jefferson hired this little Puerto Rican girl to be her servant. And she talked with a heavy accent. And one of her phrases was, and I always, Mrs. Jefferson, I forgot. And that's our big problem. We forget. We forget how big God is. We forget that He's sovereign. We forget that He's there right now. We just got to remember. Number two, abandon reliance upon ourselves and others for provision, solutions, or protection, and look only to the Lord. That's not our first instinct. Does that mean that I sit around at home and I say, I just know the Lord's going to provide? No, that's not what it means. But it means that I understand that it is God who ultimately provides. Can God use people to provide? Sure He can. Can He give me a job opportunity so that I can provide for my family? Sure He can. But that's not what I'm relying on. I'm relying on the Lord. Abandon reliance upon ourselves and others for provision, solution, and protection, and learn to look only to the Lord. And then number three, practice trusting the Lord in the daily situations of life. And practice relying on His guidance in every situation and circumstance. You say, how do I practice? Well, right now. What is it you're going through right now? What would you consider your number one challenge right now? Relational, financial, health, anything. What's your number one fear right now? Is there a fear that is keeping you awake at night at all? Or causing you to have to take a little help in order to get to sleep? Right now is the time to start trusting the Lord. Right now. Don't wait until the big one comes. It'll come when it comes, if it comes. The point is, right now, everything that's in the life right now is a wonderful opportunity to go ahead and start practicing relying on the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. Right now. Right now, right where you're at, that is where we start. Take that thing you're struggling with right now. Is there something you're having trouble accepting or whatever? Take that right now and begin giving it to the Lord. And begin looking to Him. And begin putting it to Him in prayer. And if you have to do that 10 times a day, then do it 10 times a day. Because it isn't like, okay, I got it. I heard that one sermon and from now on I can just rely on the Lord all the time. No, you'll do like the little maid did. I forgot. And it might be just an hour after you leave here today. But if we start it right now, we'll develop that. God will develop it in us. And then it'll just become. And then at that point, it's not what it is that's really the issue, and it's not how big it is that's really the issue. Because there's only one issue. Do I really trust the Lord? And if I really trust Him, then it doesn't matter if it's little or medium-sized or big. The Lord is going to see me through. Amen? How many have found the Lord to be faithful? It's just amazing, isn't it, when we do trust Him, how He comes through for us. And that's a law a lot better than Murphy's Law. And by the way, it trumps Murphy's Law. Would you join me in prayer? Father, You know how, I don't know, You know how mistrust and unbelief and a certain amount of fear is just kind of inbred in us and our DNA and our fallen condition. And that on the one hand, and then the contradictory one of wanting to do it all ourselves and wanting to trust in ourselves or wanting to trust in man or wanting to trust in our education or wanting to trust in other people or whatever, instead of trusting in you, or even priding ourselves in these things instead of trusting in you. But our wayward hearts are constantly going in one direction or the other, vacillating back and forth between self-reliance and fear, overconfidence and panic. Lord, teach us today to dwell in the presence of the Most High and teach us to rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That's our prayer today. We're your people. We love you, Lord. If we do this, not only will we rest a lot better, but we'll be a lot better testimony too. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.